Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I am J-Doc here at the Pulse of New Hampshire, and joining me is none other than the longest reigning, defending, undisputed host that has curly hair on the Pulse of New Hampshire, and that streak will continue. That streak will continue. He's also an author, also a scholar. He's also a businessman, a doting grandfather. He's a swell dancer as well. He loves kids and kittens as well. Steve Ballmer's college roommate, also knew Bill Gates at Harvard. That is a fact. I'm not making that up. And also, he is Eddie Papowski's number one fan. The fan club is going to be growing exponentially, I think, after this edition, Tom. He is the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. It is Mr. Tom Raffio.
Thank you, Jay. I got to take you everywhere I go because the society is opening up again, even though we're still in the middle of COVID. More and more, I'm asked to speak again in person. So I think bringing you along to do my introduction might have to explain who Eddie Papowski is to some listeners.
We can do that, yeah.
1967 Red Sox third base coach. And, of course, I know more about the 67 Red Sox than the current team, which is struggling a little bit.
But anyway,
thank you for that kind introduction. And I'm really excited about this show. You know why?
Why?
Because I could talk soccer with the Right Reverend Rob Grable for hours, but I won't subject you to this, J-Dog. It'll be just two 12-minute segments. Mr. Rob Grable, thank you for joining me. How are you doing?
Very well. Thanks, Tom. It's always a pleasure to be here.
No, the pleasure is mine. I study the high school soccer records. I see your name, even though you're relatively late in the game compared to like the Pinkhams in terms of the high school records. You're climbing every year. You're climbing towards the top of the record books. I love to see that. And I love the fact that New Hampshire is, to me, disproportionately successful in the soccer arena. We've talked about reasons for that in the past. Well, why don't we, though, this show focus mostly on the 47th Lions Cup game, which was just held July 16th at Hanover High School. One important factor for the listening audience to know is that it benefits New Hampshire Lions side and Herring Foundation and the Vermont Lions charities. And we are happily to say that Northeast Delta Dental is one of the sponsors along with the Jack and Dorothy Brin Foundation. And I hear nothing but great things about the day. So why don't you tell us in your own words how the day went and how we think now, since we're back into it. We had gone on a little hiatus a couple years ago. Now that we're sort of back and understand how to deal with COVID, how you kind of see the future. But let's start with July 16th of this year and how it went from your perspective.
Wonderful, Tom. And actually, that's a good jumping off point because this is the second year back after we took a year off. And I think one of the great successes that the Lions brought us was how nimble they were in rethinking how to have a successful game. This was the second year that we've tried the model of doing a one-day all-star game, where in all of the 44 previous years, the players would come in and stay in dorms on a college campus. And the one-day model has really proven to be very effective, very successful. This year's games were artistically everything you could hope for. All the athletes showed up. We had very few dropouts, which is a direct benefit of the one-day model. We had large crowds, enthusiastic crowds for both games. It filled the bleachers and the bowl at Hanover High School. And if you've ever been up there, that means 400, 500, 600 people. And one of the essential reasons the games were successful for everyone, for all of the Vermont families and players and coaches and New Hampshire, owes to the central location. If you're not dependent on a college campus and Dartmouth is not in a generous mood, then having the game halfway between Burlington, Vermont and Exeter, New Hampshire, means that no one has to drive too far. And the games this year, I think, speak for themselves. course, it was a very good year for New Hampshire. The New Hampshire boys had a wonderful 1-1 tie with Vermont, a lot better than last year's 5-1 loss, when, by the way, I was on the sidelines for New Hampshire. Oops. Oops. And the New Hampshire girls broke a 4-game losing streak and decisively beat Vermont 4-1. And even better, Tom, for our perusal, is the fact that a lot of Concord area kids figured prominently in both of those games. So that's pretty exciting.
Let's stick with the girls for the moment. So you mentioned that. So Hopkinton's Ashley scored 2 goals. And as you said, New Hampshire on the girls' side defeated Vermont 4-1. In the case of the girls, it's actually the 39th game, which Correct. Is still pretty impressive. And New Hampshire leads the series 20 wins, 14 losses, and 5 ties. But as you point out, Vermont had been on a streak. So let's start with, how did Vermont get so good? Because obviously they even have less population than we do in New Hampshire. Is it coaching again? Or?
No, it's great clubs. If you've got good club programs, you're going to have good youth programs, good high school programs. There's a mutual spillover effect. And we can talk in a little bit when we talk about trends about, you know, how club soccer relates to high school soccer. But in this case, those Burlington area clubs, Far Post and Nordic, are incredible breeding grounds for very, very good soccer. And you saw that even on the highest level of soccer in New England, which is the USL2 level. So that's the fourth division of American soccer. And this year we had 2 teams, one from New Hampshire, one from Vermont, Seacoast in New Hampshire, and Vermont FC out of Burlington, both do an exceptional job in their very competitive USL. And that's the equivalent of the low minors in baseball. That's the equivalent of single A in baseball. All the top college players are playing. It's as good or not better than the Cape Cod League. So that's why Burlington and therefore Vermont is strong. And the Burlington area teams sometimes dominate these all-star games. That's where the top 4, 5, or 6 Division I teams are. So they're good. They're dangerous.
That's good. That's good to hear. I was just in Burlington not too long ago. Related to baseball, the Lake Monsters, which is kind of the equivalent of what you referenced, the Cape Cod League baseball. And it just seems like there's like a athletic milieu or something that it was really, really terrific.
Oh, sure. You know, they have their marathon. There's a real fitness vibe about Burlington. I think you've got that pegged almost exactly right.
Now back to soccer. So as part of our sponsorships, we got several tickets, and several of my employees went, and they couldn't also not believe the quality of the soccer. I think they were expecting, you know, maybe what they see with their kids in junior high or something, but they were really, really impressed. Also the size of the athletes, women and men, and also the, and this is not pejorative, the aggressiveness and so forth of soccer, but clean, you know, so it was.
Oh yeah, but just good, solid, competitive games. And I thought both games exemplified that. And one of the games had a very strict official, and there were several cards given, but the game was clean and competitive, and, you know, it really lived up to a top standard. And what was also nice, Tom, was that you saw athletes, we've already mentioned the Hopkinton girls, from all divisions really standing up and doing well. Bishop Brady, Evan Haas was the most valuable player for New Hampshire. So you can't go all D1, D2 snobby in
New Hampshire soccer. Well, we've always said, and then, of course, Hanover is a perfect example, that we always said when Hanover High School was in Division II, it could beat most Division I teams then, and it's proven to be the case. It's just the depth. So obviously, Division II, Division III.
You've got fewer top teams, maybe, but the quality is there, and the quality of the coaching is there. Getting back to what your friends saw, they saw the result of a really good coaching job by the coaches. And, you know, it's interesting, Tom, we were talking about the new model. Each all-star team, Vermont and New Hampshire, is allowed one day to practice. And so everyone meets the week before the game on a Saturday. They all know in advance. We had great attendance at the practices as well. Bedford High School, so centrally located for both New Hampshire teams, and great support from the coaches and the players. So there's been less attrition. In some years, Tom, we would lose 4 or 5 of the top 10 players because they had other commitments. They had club soccer commitments, some of them, work commitments. And I think this model of having the kids commit and do quick hitters really has paid off very, very well. Besides which, putting 80 kids in college dorms this year would have been a super spreader. So no, thank you.
Yeah, no, it's great. And I think, you know, the pandemic has definitely expedited some trends that may have occurred, whether it's online learning and certain things in, you know, business and so forth. So let's talk about that. I want to finish up with the boys game right after break. And then I want to talk about another event that we hosted not too long ago, the Granite Games, which different, but you obviously were involved with that. Jay, this gets me all excited. I know you're a big baseball guy, but I am too. You can ask me anything from 1967 on the Red Sox, and I'll answer. And you know that. You've tested me.
I have.
But I'm equally not as versed as the Right Reverend, but I'm equally into soccer. So that's why you sense the enthusiasm in my voice.
Oh, no, absolutely. You do not curb the enthusiasms when it comes to soccer.
I do sort of look like Larry David, maybe. But
This is the Pulse of New Hampshire. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to get right back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio, as Tom's guest this week is the Reverend Rob Grable. We're talking soccer, and we're going to continue after this on the Pulse of New Hampshire. Welcome back. It is the Pulse of New Hampshire. It is Northeast Delta Dental Radio. And Tom and the Reverend Rob Grable have been talking about soccer, a great sport. And I like soccer too, Tom. I actually like participating in it. I do regret, I should have in high school, probably should have been with soccer instead of trying to do football. Just didn't work out for me for football. Maybe I should have played soccer.
Yeah, I should have played European soccer instead of American football. Yeah.
Yeah, safer sport.
There you go. All right, well, let's get back to Rob. So, and Jay mentioned that Rob is an associate pastor at the Church of Christ at Dartmouth College. Let's start there, and then I want to talk about the boys' game. So what you've been a longtime youth sports coach, college coach, the last coach of New Hampshire College when it played hockey at a Division II level, and you're obviously well-known in the community. So what I don't want to say it like this, but what possessed you to become a pastor?
I finally started listening to a call that has been banging on me for 30 years. I've always been a church guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, always gone to church, grew up, went to Sunday school. You know, our kids came through and we were always going to church. So after I retired from my day job 13 years ago, I filled in briefly at our church. Next thing you know, I realized I had far too little education, started taking a couple of seminary courses. It was a slippery slope. Next thing you know, I'm ordained, and it's been a great fit. I really have, quote unquote, found my calling.
It's impressive, and obviously you're a leader of people, and that's part of it and inspiring. I always wanted to ask this of a religious person. Do you think God cares about the outcome of sporting events?
No, she doesn't. too busy elsewhere. And I think, you know, I tell people God always hears and answers our prayers, but no one ever, you know, understands that that could mean the answer is yes, no, or I'll get back to you. So there are all kinds of answers to our prayers. And guess what? Praying for any kind of victory or success in athletics is so far down the prayer list. So I pray before every game. I pray for everyone's good health. I pray for everyone to have a safe and happy time. And I leave it at that because the divine has other bigger problems to worry about than the outcome athletic events. So
yeah, particularly in today's world. Yeah, that was, I always, before every game, that's all when I coach youth and then just as a regular parent, I always wanted no one to get injured and everybody to play their best. And that's all. And then let the cards fall where they may. I never wanted, someone on either team to blow the game or something and have to live with that. That was my only thought. So let's now get back to the here and now. So, or if you will, July 16th. So the boys,
it's only game, a month ago, so it's still present.
Still present. Good. So the boys game was a 1-1 tie, which sounds like you're kissing your sister and all that. But to the extent we were on a little dry spell, that actually is really good for New Hampshire, correct?
No, it was a great result, and it showed the game off well. Both teams played well. There were some fabulous plays. You know, the goalie from Sauhegan High School, Ryan Lockett, saved the penalty kick. I mean, that's really exciting stuff. And penalty kicks are much more fun during the game as opposed to after the game. We could talk about, do a whole show about that sometime. But, Division III athlete, young man named Ben Seiler from Mascoma High School in Canaan and Enfield, New Hampshire, scored the winning goal or the tying goal, a quality finish for a boy who also scored 1,000 points in basketball.
Wow.
So you get some pretty strong athletes sometimes in Division III or IV. Again, we've dwelt on that. So it was a very, very good game. Really excellent competitive game.
So let's pause there because that just triggers a line of questioning I wanted to ask you later, but I'll ask now, which is, so we have with so many, clubs and so much sort of pressure to do one sport 365 days of the year, George Pinkham, you're one of your fellow coaches. We always talked about like there are athletes that play really good soccer and they also do basketball, like for example, and what you just described. And then there are others that maybe, totally specialized in soccer. And there's no right answer to it. But what's your view on all that?
I think it is in many, many cases much more sensible for athletes to play two or even three sports, and it won't hold you back. The best soccer player to come out of New Hampshire 2 years ago, young man named Charlie Adams, who's now at Brown University, played basketball all the way through high school, but he's starring for Brown University and starring, by the way, for FC Green out of Vermont. On the other hand, you've got a young man coming out of New Hampshire who played for the Seacoast Academy team, played soccer year round, and he's off to the University of Washington, one of the top three or four teams in the country, and he's going to be a featured player for them. So I don't think it's either or. I love to see the balance of playing different seasons. Hanover High School's got some kids who play multiple sports. A lot of them are skiers, Tom.
Right, I love that. Yeah.
Eric Ringer, who was the Gatorade Player of the Year and a high school All-American, was a ski jumper for Hanover High School. And our best striker this year is a fellow who plays three sports, soccer, hockey, lacrosse, classic. And you prevent repetitive stress injuries. You prevent burnout. You get to engage in a school community. Tom, we can talk a lot. Club soccer is excellent, awesome, great feeder for programs. But high school soccer is doing something really special. And that is standing up to the whole idea of pay to play. And we saw that on display in the Granite State Games, which featured high school athletes who may not play for the clubs, but who are just as good and who don't or who can't participate because if you play club, it's thousands of dollars. And many of our best athletes, particularly our best soccer players, are not in a position to do that. And how great that high school soccer
gives them. Being able to play in your high school season, I know that in my own personal life, my senior year in high school, many years ago, 73, 74, was like the favorite thing. And you're representing your school. And similarly, following my sons and daughters senior year, whether it's, soccer or skiing you referenced, or later baseball. It's just terrific. On the other hand, if you want to put all your eggs in one basket and it works, the other value of being more diverse is you don't get that repetitive injuries. And two, even as a totally dedicated club person, you may not get to that next level and you missed out on the wonderful high school experience. But I think unlike, say, hockey, where a lot of the high school teams don't nearly have as much talent as they used to because of the equivalent of club hockey.
Right.
I think in high school soccer, we have found the balance. That's my opinion.
And I agree 100%. It also owes to the fact that soccer is a beloved sport for many people who are new citizens. And what a gem, what a wonderful thing to have our high schools be the vehicles by which these student athletes can use soccer as a way to help get them into college, raise their expectations, and get them integrated into the fabric of a school community.
Well said. As always, we're running out of time, but I want to hit two things really quick. So penalty kicks, you mentioned, I mean, you've won championships and semifinals via PKs, you've lost. The last time we spoke, you said, you know what? It's probably the only way we can do it. That's how they do it on the world stage. In the old days, we used to play a whole second game and things like that, and that isn't as practical anymore. So how about comment on penalty kicks, which I know puts a lot of pressure on the goalie and the parents and everything else. And then spend just a couple of minutes on, you referenced it, the Granite State games, which occurred a few weeks before the Lions Cup game. And that was, having watched a lot of it, because those games were at NHGI right across here from Delta Dental. That was also successful. But 30 seconds on PKs and then talk about the Granite State games.
Well, I think it's pertinent to talk about PKs, given that all four of last year's boys' high school championship games were determined by penalty kicks. And I think everyone is used to it. They practice it. They know it's coming. It's an accepted way to end games. So I don't think we want to have a solution in search of a problem and find a new way to do it. So I think for now, it ain't that broke. So we'll stick with it for a while, because perfect, you live and die by it.
As you have.
And it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is. Bad for the parents, particularly the goalie's parents. All right. So the Granite State games, which consist of primarily, you know, sophomore and juniors, but also some freshmen, even younger, those games were held right across the street here from Delta Dental. And having watched it, it was just great camaraderie. Tell us about those games.
We exist thanks to the structure of Granite State Games, which have been going for almost a decade, and Olympic-style competition, four regions of the state. And we played in 4 days, 16 soccer games, and not one of them wasn't high quality. And it gave a lot of these student-athletes the chance for exposure. There were seven college coaches who were at those games over the 4 days. And what an opportunity to, you know, recruit right in your backyard for some of these, New England College and the Tech itself and Colby Sawyer College, Southern Maine, really fun to see. So
it was terrific. And look up the Granite State games. They've been led by Patrick Mulcahy for that decade. Delta also supports that. Final word. I think I can answer this for you. Fall soccer season, high school is going to be as competitive as ever, right?
It's going to be crazy competitive up and down the line. Look for Nashua South, Central, Manchester Memorial, and Hanover. On the girls' side, look for Bedford, look for Exeter, Pinkerton, and BG. Watch out for Oyster River in Division II. They're going to be wicked strong, and the Bow Falcons in Division II.
Mark, I like it. And also we like that Rob Johnston, finally Lebanon, won the championship division two last year.
Captain Ahab got the white whale.
There you go. So, Jay, you see how we can go on, but we'll stop here.
No, this was a great conversation with the Reverend Rob Grable, talking soccer and watching. And he talked about watching out for some of these teams that are going to be emerging in high school in 2022. So I will definitely look for that. As you mentioned, the Bow Falcons for the girls. and so the local teams. And you also mentioned, of course, Lebanon finally was able to win a boys soccer championship. And that was this is great conversation. And we'll have another conversation next week on another edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. For the Reverend Rob Grable and Tom Raffio, I am J-Dog, and we'll have another edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio next time here on the Pulse of New Hampshire.